This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. The ocean is for everyone, but if you want to surf, well, that's a different story. Most surfers in America are still white and male. To be a woman and a person of color, well, that's pretty rare. Gabriella Angotti Jones is a black surfer. She grew up in Capistrano Beach in Orange County and got her first surfboard when she was 9 years old. She talks about that and many other moments in her new book, I Just Want to Surf. It's mainly a book of photos of her friends in and out of the water, interspersed with short reflections on her life, diary-like entries. And Gabriella joins me now. Welcome to Press Play.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Also joining us is one of her friends who's in the book. Her name is Kimiko Lorraine Russell Halterman, and she's been surfing since she was 19 years old. And she works with a group in Oakland called Brown Girl Surf, which teaches girls, women, and gender-expansive people how to surf. Welcome to you, Kimiko.
Thank you so much. Honored to be here.
Honored to have both of you. Okay, Gabriella, let's begin with you. You grew up in a beach town, and you write that you caught your first wave when you were just 6 years old. You write that you, as a child, you really felt like you belonged in the ocean. So describe what that means for us people who don't necessarily feel as, as born to be in the surf. What does it feel like to be in the ocean?
When I'm in the ocean, I forget about everything around me and I'm completely focused on what's in front of me. And I think when I was little, when I caught my first wave, I think it was on a boogie board at T Street. I was completely encapsulated in the moment and I couldn't feel anything but the whoosh and sliding. And so I think such an overwhelming experience made me realize that I could have other experiences that make me forget about myself and just completely be engrossed in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Kimiko, what about you? What's your relationship to the water?
So much of that resonated, G, and we talk about these type of things a lot, but my relationship to surfing has become a way to reflect on how to connect to my ancestry and to others, and like finding water as this powerful connector between many people. That's become a very special part about surfing, including meeting Gabriella and our friends.
Yeah.
So you began surfing when you were 19, right? So a little later or a lot later.
A little later than 19.
Oh, okay. So how long have you been surfing?
I would say like the first time I really went out committed to growing as a surfer was like, maybe that was like 21, 22. When you go out and it's like all white dudes. And for me, it was in a college town, all these college age white dudes who are like staring at you, laughing at you, whatever. It was sporadic. And so it wasn't really until years later when I was like, no, I can do this. I'm building community. I can go out consistently, that it started to grow over time.
So was it really hard when you were first starting? And this is a question for both of you. As you said, there are a lot of white guys in the water. What was that like when you went out on your boards?
For me, like, I already had a context of growing up in San Clemente and seeing a lot of people that didn't look like me in the water. So it wasn't until like I kind of started getting questions of why I was surfing and how, which are like, I've realized they've come to be like normal questions that young women are asked as to like why they're getting the water, why they're doing it. That's when I really started to notice like my differences in the people around me. And that didn't happen until I was like a preteen. But like before that, like I didn't really contextualize myself in that way. I was just like, yo, the water's there. Like, let's go have fun. And like, that was like the first time I really learned like, I'm black, like, which is like weird because I feel like all of us kind of have that moment eventually. But like, it was interesting that it was in the context of like surfing.
Hmm. So you didn't realize you were black until surfing pointed that out to you?
I knew I was black because like my parents, like we would talk about it all the time. And like, I remember one time we were driving, I think to Laguna Beach or like Newport to play at the tennis courts because my dad liked playing tennis and he had the sports car that we would drive and we got pulled over by the police. And like the cop was like so mean to my dad about like why he was speeding. And he was like asking him if the car was his and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was black because of that, but it didn't like make sense until it like happened to me, which was in like a surf context. And like, it was like personalized towards my experience. And then I kind of like was able to connect all of that together. And of course, like my parents explained to me what the dynamics of that being pulled over by cops was, but I didn't get it until like I had that experience, if that makes sense.
And you write about an experience when you got your first surfboard when you were 9 years old. First, describe it. What does it look like?
So it was a hot pink liquid shredder. I think it was like 5'6", which is way too big for like a 9-year-old. I still have it. I'm determined to surf it.
But so you took it out. You're really excited.
Yeah.
You're 9 years old. You've got this hot pink surfboard that's too big for you. So then what happens?
So my mom and I, we're at the San Clemente Pier. We like get out of the our car and we like walk down this, like, there's like a cobblestone path that goes down to the pier. And there's this like older man, he's like an old white dude. And he just kind of looks at me and he was like, "You're going to ride that thing?" And then like, as soon as we got down to the beach, I just like threw the board in the sand and I just sat next to my mom. I felt my whole body tense up. I dug my hands in the sand and I was like grabbing it. And I was just watching these surfer boys who were like mostly like white teenagers just like surf. And I just remember thinking like, this is too much for me. I can't do this anymore. Just because it felt like such a amalgamation of just massive microaggressions or little microaggressions or like little things that kind of piled up over time to make me feel like I couldn't do it.
Wow. You know, it's so interesting that adults will just, you know, toss off a comment unthinkingly and not realize what a profound effect it can have on a child. He was maybe thinking, oh, look at this little girl and this big board. Or maybe he did have a racial thought. I don't know. It could have been just that, right? And yet it was so profoundly affecting for you.
I think he felt a level of comfortability with me maybe saying something like that because I was a surfer, or maybe he wasn't. I have no idea. All I know is that it made me feel bad.
Yeah. And it really affected you and your desire to be a surfer, right? Didn't you kind of decide you didn't want to do it anymore?
Yeah, I knew that I wanted to be an ocean person and I can never be pulled away from the ocean. But that level of confrontation and kind of commentary on what I was doing constantly was just like lame and I was over it.
Yeah. Kimiko, have you had the same kind of experience?
Yes. So much of what Gabriella is sharing resonates so deeply. And I think something that G and I have actually talked about is that, like, exactly what you were asking of, like, well, maybe it was because of this, maybe it was because of a racial assumption. That is kind of part of it, is that you're always in this state of like, did they do that because I'm Black? Did they do that because I'm a woman? So yes, like very clear experiences where people have said things, acted in certain ways, made assumptions, but it's also this like overall feeling of like, when you're out there without anyone else who you feel like you identify with, it is harder to stay in that moment.
Is it the same with white women? Do they make comments or is it different?
I have a lot of camaraderie with white women because I think like as women, we're just kind of all treated the same way. But like, there's also like this like positivity, this like forced positivity that happens where it's like, so glad to see you're out here. Wow. Your bathing suit, your hair. Wow. Amazing. And it's like, why do I have to be a spectacle? Like, it should be so low key. Like, surfing is such an internalized experience and I'm not really here for the comments. I'm just here to surf, you know?
So now you have this community of, as you write, 9 Black women. Talk about this community. Who's in it? And are they young? Are they older? Are they different kinds of people or all the same age? Or
it's everything. Like a beautiful quilt of everything.
Yeah. Like, we range in like ages from probably like 24 to like 40. It's just become this beautiful network and group of people where we can like rely on each other for advice and like just different life experiences. Like my friend Olga, our friend Olga is an emergency room doctor. Danny also works in the hospital as a physical therapist. Like Monica is an executive producer for movies. Like, is this like just such an amazing group of like powerful people with powerful jobs? And it's just like so cool because we all get along.
Yeah.
That is really cool. And then you look out for each other. You share in the book that you suffer from depression, Gabriella. And you write that there was a moment where you were suffering from a particularly bad episode. And you were thinking of checking yourself into a hospital. And then you reached out to the group. What happened?
Well, I was really nervous about reaching out because it felt like I was admitting to myself that I was suicidal, but I did it anyway. And I remember as soon as I sent that text message, like it was like 4 texts at once. I just remember like crying on the floor of my bathroom, like talking to Danny and where she's like telling me about her trip to, oh, where did they go? I don't remember where they went, but they just like all got sunburned and like they were just like, oh my God, we were lobsters. And I was like crying and laughing. And like, I think my friend Shelby was having like this brunch party and I ended up going and the girls just took me in the back and they just like fed me food and just like made me laugh and made me realize that I had so much more value than what I thought I had. And it was really powerful.
That is really powerful. So they may have saved you.
They 100% did. They've saved me multiple times.
So the book has so many beautiful photographs and you're a really good photographer.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just feel like I'm in your world looking at these photos, and it's a world of real beauty and joy and love. But there's a photo of you late in the book. You say you realize you hadn't taken a self-portrait, that there were pictures of all your friends and no pictures of you. So you took this self-portrait. And in it, you are looking straight at the camera. And you have a caption and it says, you wrote, "It actually freaked me out when I saw the picture. It was hard for me to look at it. I captured something that I didn't want to admit to myself." What was that?
I'm generally uncomfortable in my own skin and I'm depressed. And it was hard to see that, especially after like 2 or 3 years of working on this and slowly understanding that these jubilant images were really coming out of such an incredible place of pain. Finally taking a picture that just kind of got to the point was like scary and I did not like it.
Is that the only picture of you in the book?
There's Polaroids of me with the girls around me, which is one of my favorite pictures.
And you waxing your board on the bed.
Oh, yeah. And me waxing the board on the bed. Maybe there are other pictures. I haven't looked at it in a while.
I look at it every day.
You do?
I'm not kidding.
Kimiko, what's your favorite photo in the book?
I think there's a photo that's actually on the cover. Gabriella captured a moment where we're all lying on the tile floor in the sun. And we're all just like laughing so hard and like ate an entire watermelon. And it was just a beautiful time. And that photo, I don't think I'll ever stop looking at.
Yeah, I was going to choose a similar photo where it's a bunch of you on a, maybe it's the same photo session where it's a bunch of you hanging out on a porch, talking and just hanging out. And it just is, I guess, mundane, but also really special at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, I really just wanted to show what surfing life is. And then on top of that, make it with Black women and Black people. It's just like, we're normal. It's like everything else, you know?
Yeah, you write at the beginning, "I photograph Black female and non-binary surfers because there are no historical images of us."
Yeah.
So you want to make this community visible.
I wanted to put all my energy forth in trying to shed light on this community or help, you know, elevate and forward us, because like we exist. And I knew that like kind of making it my whole mission of basically my life right now to forward us, and it would happen and people would pay attention to it. And it's not just me. It's like all of us. Like it's Kimmy. It's like everyone else in the community that's working so hard to gain visibility and teach other people how to surf and share Mama Ocean with everyone, you know?
All right, let's end with a happy story you tell in the book. This happened last summer, and you were surfing in Topanga, and you caught this perfect wave.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
I think this was actually summer 2021, I believe, and there was this random perfect day that happened where it was like head high, meaning the waves were at least like my head height. But this one that came was overhead, meaning it was like over my head. And I wrote it down all the way. I made a second section into the bay. And then when I jumped off the wave and I just like came out of the water screaming. And I was like, yeah, this is amazing. And then I looked at the shore and there was just like this homeless dude on the beach, because there's a lot of people that come through Topanga. And he was like, oh my God. And I was like, I know. We were just like both freaking out. So that was really cool, because that was the longest wave I had caught at that point. And it just is this sensory bomb that just kind of imprints into this crazy core memory. It's like a weird high. Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, so for both of you, what are the best surf spots in California?
Oh my God, don't make us do that.
are they secret? You're not supposed to give them away.
I mean, at this point, COVID blew up everything, but I'm not going to tell you.
I'm about to say something so cheesy. For me, it's much less about the spot. And I feel like I've had days at like totally what people would think are mediocre spots, but like with everybody, that's what makes it the best experience ever.
Yeah. I think all the best surf sessions I've ever had are not because how many waves I caught, but because I'm with my friends. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both, you two good friends, for coming on the show today and sharing your passion for surfing.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you, Dee.
I love you, Kimmy.
Kamika Lorraine Russell Halterman is a surfer and one of the people featured in the new book, I Just Want to Surf, by Gabriella Angotti Jones. Coming up, the latest Super Mario Brothers movie is a box office hit. The first one, though, was a major flop. It was gritty and weird, but now there are new fans of that film. That's next on Press Play.